This evening we're going to be talking about a concept that I like to call discipline versus default. Now to start off our lesson this evening, I'd like to start with a verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 10. It says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going." This evening I'd like to explore the concept of living your life with all your might. I'd like to explore, what does that look like? How do we do that exactly? As you might have guessed based on my title, the answer lies with discipline. So let's look at a quick definition of that. Discipline is control gained by enforcing obedience or order, orderly or prescribed conduct or pattern of behavior, self-control. In life, there are two ways that we can live, hence the title. We can either live with discipline, being orderly, self-controlled, or we can just be default, autopilot, just going through the motions. When we look at discipline, when we look at default, we compare the two. Default is impulsive. It's resistant to change. And as I was saying, it's autopilot, just going through the motions. Discipline, on the other hand, is intentional. You're acting on purpose. You're acting skillfully. Discipline is not a guarantee. It's easy for us to fall into habits, to just go through the motions, to just do the same things over and over, especially when we're worshiping God. We come here, we do the same things week to week. Are we really putting thought into what we're doing? Are we just going through the motions? Are we doing vain repetitions, as the Bible would call it? Discipline gives us the best chance of creating what we want. It takes us where we want to go. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." If we don't have discipline, it is impossible to please God. Now, default, on the other hand, it's mediocre at its best. And over time, it is guaranteed to fail. We see this all the time at work, in our relationships, how we manage ourselves. Acting default or on autopilot, it's just the path of least resistance. When we look at our behavior over time, if we let default take over, in the absence of discipline, default will take over. We become impulsive. We form these autopilot habits. We eventually just desire for comfort. We don't want conflict. Remember what Paul was telling Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, where he said, "For a time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers." So clearly discipline is not something that's easy to maintain, but we have to fight for it. Now Jesus made this clear, that there are these two pathways in life, when he said in Matthew chapter 7, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the path which leads to life, and there are few that find it." So now that we kind of understand what discipline is and how it compares to the other way of thinking, just being default, just doing, you know, impulsive behavior, there's clearly a need for discipline. There's clearly a need to think about our actions, be intentional. So when we look at events in life, there's a simple equation. Events, E, plus R, response, equals O, or outcome. We can apply this simple equation to everything that we do in our lives. When we look at events, it can be anything. Circumstances, other people, different scenarios and situations, things that we didn't ask for, changes in our life, etc. The outcomes that can come from those situations are anything that we're trying to create, our objectives, our goals, relationships, endeavors, etc. The response of those situations can be anything. Even nothing is a response. And everything that we do is a response. Knowing that, we have to make sure that we control our response. Because it is truly the only thing that we can control in any given situation. We can't always get the outcome that we want, but we can see what it is. We can see what we're striving to get, and we can go for that using discipline. So when we look at events through our lives, we have to understand what is the reality of our situation. That's how we apply discipline. We have to understand first what is going on. Then we have to look at the outcome and make that clear. What is it that I need to accomplish? Knowing those two things, we can determine what our response is, and we can decide what is the most discipline-driven response that I can engage in. So now that we kind of have this understanding of how to apply discipline, what it is in looking at different situation scenarios, let's take a look at some examples. If you will, let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 through 29. Here we read about Moses and about his faith. Hebrews 11, starting verse 24, "But by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, but he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn might not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned." Imagine what it was like for Moses. Imagine how easy it would have been for him to just default on his behavior, just to be on autopilot. He was in Pharaoh's household. Must have been a pretty easy life, don't you think? He had everything he wanted. Anything he wanted in the kingdom, he could have gotten. He was a prince of Egypt, essentially. But he saw what was going on. He understood the reality of his situation, and he understood what outcome he needed to achieve, and that was to serve God. And he recognized that the only way to get to that outcome was to apply discipline in his behavior and to choose ill treatment with the people of God rather than just going with the flow. He chose the harder path. Next example is Job, of course. Job went through a lot. We know the story of Job. He was tested by Satan because God was accused of just protecting him. Satan said that that was the only reason that he was serving him in the first place, so God said, go ahead, put him to the test. And if we remember in Job 1, after everything had started, he had gone through all these temptations and trials. He said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away." Through that whole situation, Job remained disciplined. He applied discipline to his life. He understood what was going on. He knew what outcome he wanted to achieve, and he continually fought day by day to do what was right. And he was discouraged. Even his own wife said to him later on, Job 2:9, his wife said to him, "Are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die." Even his wife recognized that this was not the easy path. This was not the path of least resistance. It was a fight. And she told him just to give up because she saw what he had to go through. Our next example is Joseph. The story of Joseph is definitely a tragic one. His brothers despised him from a young age. He was eventually sold into slavery. And you can imagine with circumstances like that, it would have been easy just to default on his behavior. He could have just become a slave, just kind of did what he was told, and just gone through life until he died. But he didn't. He chose to serve God anyway, and he went through difficult trials. Eventually, he was blessed. He became a part of Potiphar's house. He was able to kind of gain authority there. And then he was tempted again by Potiphar's wife. But he chose discipline yet again. He was eventually falsely accused, thrown in prison. Still, he chose discipline day by day. He chose to serve God. And eventually, it paid off. He became ruler over Egypt. He gained much authority, and he ended up saving his people. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, when all his brothers had come to approach him, and they were asking, he had revealed himself to them, he told them, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people alive." If Joseph had not shown this disciplined behavior, his capability to choose what was right in the face of any circumstance, God would not have chosen him. He needed someone like Joseph in that situation to be able to deliver his people. Another good example, Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were faced with captivity, they could have easily, again, just like Joseph, just gone through the motions, just backed off on life, not take any initiative to serve God, but just to go through. But they didn't. They chose to serve God even though they were in a foreign land, even though they were oppressed, even when it came down to the statue of Nebuchadnezzar and they were told to submit and to worship, they refused. And it came down for Daniel to facing the lion's den, where they would be punished. He would be punished that way, but he did not give in. He chose to continue to be disciplined, continue to serve God regardless. Then his three friends facing the fiery furnace, they were literally staring death in the face, so to speak. The king told them, "You will submit or you will die." And what did they respond with? Daniel 3:16-18, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery, from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Same thing with the apostles when they faced the Sanhedrin in Acts 5:28-29. The Sanhedrin said, "We gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in his name, and yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and intended to bring this man's blood upon us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men." Now, if you can imagine yourself in any one of these situations, how would you respond? Would you choose discipline, even though it's the harder path? Or would you just back off? Would you back off on your beliefs of Christ? Would you hold fast to faith and face what these men had to face? Hebrews 11, the entire chapter is filled with people that acted in faith. All those people acted with discipline. They chose the harder path, knowing what they wanted their outcome to be. Same with all the Old Testament Bible characters. There's many, many examples in the Old Testament of people that acted with discipline. Now, the ultimate example, of course, is Jesus. When Jesus was on this earth, he never went to autopilot. He never defaulted on his behavior. We read in Hebrews 4:15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin." Every single day, Jesus recognized what he was there to accomplish. He saw what he was facing, and as Hebrews says, he was tempted in all points as we are. Yet he chose discipline every single time. In Philippians 2:8, it says, "Being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." And even up to that point, we saw when Jesus was praying in the garden, he prayed, not my will be done, but thine. Now, in comparison, now that we've seen examples of discipline, let's look at a few examples of people that just defaulted in their behavior. How about Felix in Acts 24:25? "Now, as he reasoned," this is Paul here, "about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, 'Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you.'" Felix was uncomfortable with change. He didn't want to have to change. He didn't like what was being taught to him. He didn't want to have to do anything. He was just defaulting in his behavior. He didn't choose discipline. And look where he ended up. Same with Agrippa, Acts 26:28. "Then Agrippa said to Paul, 'You almost persuaded me to become a Christian.'" That could be us if we're not careful. If we don't choose discipline in our responses every single day, because it is a daily battle, we will end up like this. Then one final thought, Hebrews 5:12, For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. As I said, this could become us too, if we're not careful. Let's take a look at a few commands that were given. There's different parts of worship, different things, different examples. We're commanded to be disciplined in our behavior. Take, for example, partaking the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians 11, at the end, verse 29, it says, "For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." So if we're just defaulting in how we take the Lord's Supper, if we're getting there and we're thinking about other things, we've done this a million times, we do it every single week, if we're thinking like that, we eat and drink judgment to ourselves. We have to continually choose the right outcome or the right response to achieve the right outcome. Next one, 1 Peter 5:8, be sober of spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. If we choose this impulsive behavior, if we're not on the alert, if we're not constantly watching, looking at our responses, evaluating our situations, we will be devoured. Galatians 5, another great example, the two different works of the flesh and then the works of the spirit. Default versus discipline, once again. Being immoral, impure, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, etc. Those are all default behaviors. Sin, ultimately, is default behavior. But disciplined behavior, the works of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. This is a daily battle, as I have said. It's something that we have to go through every single day. We have to look at our responses, consider what we need to be, and choose discipline. Another one here, parable of the sower, is I brought up. We see four examples of this, four different types of people. We have the hard soil that just defaults only. Don't want to hear it. Doesn't make any changes, nothing. Unresponsive to the gospel. Then we see the rocky soil. They're moved with discipline, and in the moment, they believe it. They act. They're saved. But then all of a sudden, they realize there's a little more to it than that. They didn't fully understand what the outcome was going to be, so they chose a default response. Then we look at the thorny soil. They see what the event is. They see the outcome. They choose discipline, and for a while, they maintain it. For a while, they choose to do what God wants them to do. But over time, as lusts come crushing back down, as the cares of this world start to take back over, they realize discipline's a little harder than I thought, and they fall away. But then the good soil, those that respond with discipline and choose every single day to maintain it, those are the people that are saved. Those are the people that yield fruit. Now let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. It's a verse I'd like to look at there. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you might win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Paul understood the value of discipline. He understood what it took. The grit, the determination, the initiative that you have to take day by day. And notice what he said. He compared us to those that compete in the games. People in this physical world, when they are competing for a prize, they understand what the event is. They understand the outcome is to win. And the only way to achieve that victory is discipline. Without discipline, you cannot win. Similarly with us, without discipline, we cannot go to heaven. Next, I'd like to turn to this passage, Matthew 25, 1 through 30. I'd like to read out of this. Here we have two parables from Jesus. Two great examples of discipline versus default behavior. Matthew 25, starting in verse 1, then the kingdom of heaven will be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were foolish, and 5 of them were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil and flasks along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delayed, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, "Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the prudent, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the prudent answered, saying, "No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. And later the other virgins also came, saying, "Lord, Lord, open up to us." But he answered and said, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert, for you do not know the day nor the hour." Then verse 14, starting the second parable. "For it is just like a man about to go on a journey, for he called for his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 talents more. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. And to the one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought the 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' The one also who had received the 2 talents came up and said, 'Master, you entrusted me 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And the one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours.' But his master answered and said to him, 'You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money with the bank, and on my arrival I would have regained my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, but he shall have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. And cast out the worthless slave into the outer darkness and into that place where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" So again, we have 2 parables, foolish, wise, default, discipline. Those that were foolish, the virgins, weren't prepared. They saw the outcome, they knew what was going on, but they weren't prepared. They chose default instead. Those that were wise, they brought oil with them. They understood what was going on, they chose the disciplined response, to be prepared. Those that were entrusted with the money, the first two, they responded with discipline. They understood what their master's expectations were. They understood what outcome needed to be achieved. They applied discipline. The one that did not, buried the money, defaulted. It was too hard. He didn't want to put forth the effort, the initiative. He was punished. Now, these are just a few examples. There's obviously very many, many examples, many other people that respond with discipline. And even with the sermons that we heard recently, all these things are things that we need to consider. How about Tim's sermon, Keeping Up Appearances? Rob's sermon about withstanding the wiles of the devil. And especially Jeff's sermons about things that we'd rather not hear. If we don't choose discipline, if we don't understand what we're going through in life, we will not make it to heaven. Now let's talk spiritual application. True faith and obedience are disciplined responses. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." If we choose sin, we're choosing that default response. Proverbs 3:5-7, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." Then Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter." So as we serve God day to day, we have to ask ourselves this. Do we understand what we're dealing with? Do we see the outcomes that we're trying to achieve? Everything that we go through is an event. Every temptation, every chance to do God's will, everything that we see, that's an event. We have to look at the outcome. Are we going to serve God or are we not? Then we have to choose discipline in how we respond. Now, this affects more than just ourselves as well. We have to understand that responding with discipline affects others as well. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. When we respond with discipline, we are showing the world that there is good in serving God. So now it's time to reflect. As we look back on these things, we have to ask ourselves, how can we bring more discipline to serving God? So I ask you tonight, are you still spiritually growing? Are you falling into these default patterns, these autopilot behaviors when you're worshiping? How about when you're singing, when you're partaking the Lord's Supper, when you give? Is it just the same amount every week? Or are you considering how you are prospering? Giving with a cheerful heart, not just giving. Hebrews 5:12, again, remember those that should have been teachers, they didn't choose discipline. They started with it. Just like the people with the rocky soil, they started with discipline. They chose the right path for a while. But because they didn't continue in that discipline, because they didn't continue to make the right choice day by day, they fell away. And that could be us. So are you making time for God every day? Is that something that you're making the choice to do, or is it just the same thing every day? Do you even read the Bible each day? Or are you too busy with your work or hobbies? Are you just going through the motions? Are you talking to others about the Bible, or do you just default in your behavior? It's more comfortable not to say anything. It's more comfortable not to tell them that they're wrong, not to engage in conflict. But are you making the choice? Are you choosing discipline rather than default? Do we take the time to pray each day? Now, this might be one you say, of course, I take the time to pray. But is it just before meals? How long do you pray? Are your prayers shallow? Are they saying the same things every single day? Be with this person, amen. How about when you go to bed at night? Is it, oh, I forgot to pray today. Please forgive me for anything that I might have done. Or is it discipline where you see everything you've done each day? You evaluate what you've done and you choose to repent every single time. Now, this is another thing we're warned of. Matthew chapter 6 and 7. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. How about conquering your lusts? Remember Galatians 5:24, where it says that those that are in Christ have crucified the flesh and its desires. Crucifying something is a disciplined response. You have to work at it. It's not something that you do once and it's over with. You have to continue working at it day by day. It is truly a daily battle. And are you letting your light shine? Are you showing others that there is good in serving you and in serving God by your own behavior? If you remember two things from the sermon, I want it to be this. One, discipline is a daily battle. I've gone through this a few times, but just recognize, remember, that it's not something that you do once and it's over, especially in serving God. You don't just become baptized and be saved. It's continual faith, obedience until the day that you die. It's not once saved, always saved. And the second thing, that even disciplined behavior eventually will become default behavior. As I was saying with prayer, when you pray, you might pray, and it is a disciplined thing when you learn how to pray. But if you're praying the same things over and over, choosing that repetition, doing the same things, it becomes default. Same with taking the Lord's Supper. When you take the Lord's Supper the first time, it's something very meaningful to you. But eventually, because we're doing it week to week, if you don't choose discipline, it will become a default behavior. It will become something that you don't really focus in anymore. It's just autopilot. We can't let ourselves become that. So when we look at this equation that I had brought up at the beginning, what is the ultimate event plus response equals outcome? The answer is life. Life is our event. Whether or not we choose to serve God, that's our response. And the outcome is either heaven or hell. It's just that simple. So I ask you to examine yourself, to look at your own life. If you're not a Christian, your life is not filled with discipline. That's just the truth. If you're not a Christian, you haven't even begun this path of discipline. If you are a Christian, you have to examine yourself. Because, like I was saying, you can't just do the same things day by day. Christians that are on autopilot will not go to heaven. So if there's something in your life that you haven't repented of, something you haven't taken care of, now is the time to think about those things. Now is the time to make that discipline change. Because if you don't, take action now, you will just result, you will go back to that default behavior. You'll shrink back, you'll forget about it, you'll be comfortable. And then what? And then the judgment. If you don't take the time to make changes in your life now, they will never happen. So if there's anything that we can do for you, if you need to be baptized into Christ, start that journey of discipline. If you need to make something right by confessing sin publicly, or if you just need the prayers of the congregation, please make it known as we together stand and sing.